Share your nightmare stories with us. Claire Johnson with us. She's an expert, so don't be shy. And we'll be back with her and chat more about her work, The Art of Transforming Nightmares, and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, The Art of Transforming Nightmares with Claire Johnson. We'll get to your calls as well. Share your stories and nightmares with us. I would guess, Claire, that everyone has had nightmares. Would you agree?
Yeah, I reckon they definitely have, especially since children often have nightmares, and we may have forgotten them as we grew up. But and perhaps these days people don't get that many. Depends on the individual person, but about 5% of the overall population actually has one nightmare at least once a week. That was the results of a UK study recently. And about 30 to 55% has one nightmare a month. That was a Hong Kong-based study. And then about 85% report occasional nightmares. That was a study by the American Society of Sleep Medicine. And yet, people who have post-traumatic stress disorder, they fall into a very high category of nightmare sufferers. So between 70 to 96% of people who have had maybe have been sexually assaulted, or who were combat veterans, or have undergone some sort of severe trauma, they report very frequent nightmares. So, and there are various things that increase the chances of nightmares. For example, daily stress really increases the chance of having a nightmare. And your temperament is also a factor. So if you score higher on tests of empathy or sensitivity, then you'll tend to have more nightmares.
Why do we tend, Claire, to remember nightmares more than normal dreams?
I think you know the answer to that yourself. They're very, very strong. They're sometimes so strong that they wake us up. In fact, they usually do. And they're horrible sometimes. The imagery is just very frightening because it's our dreaming mind trying desperately to get our attention. Nightmares are dreams that shout out to us. They want to shock us. They want us to bring our attention to the issue that they are flagging up. So they make sure that we can't forget them. They stay in our mind and can actually really cast a pall over our day mood. You know, we can wake up feeling quite bad after a nightmare, which is why it's all the more important to do work with that nightmare. And, you know, the techniques that I've discussed earlier, just change that nightmare or go in there and find out what it's about, gain insight, move forward into some sort of healing, resolution, and change wherever possible.
Did you ever wake up from a dream or a nightmare and go, God, I'm glad that was a night, just a dream?
Oh, gosh, yes. Many times, yeah. I mean, I suppose my worst nightmares are to do with my daughter. You know, if I dream that something's happened to her or she's gone missing or even worse than that, then I would be very kind of relieved upon awakening. But generally, nightmares, you know, they give us that, don't they, that you wake up from them thinking, thank goodness that wasn't real, that whole situation, because they can feel so incredibly real and vivid, and we are so emotionally involved in them most of the time that it's very hard to calm down after a nightmare sometimes. You know, our heart is racing and we break out in a cold sweat. So yeah, it's very important to take a moment after a nightmare just to relax, calm down, breathe deeply, have a drink of water, leave the bed, maybe go to the bathroom or something, and just calm your thoughts down before you go back to bed.
When people get your book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares, what would you like to have them take with them after they read it?
Yeah, well, I mean, my main thing is to give them tools and techniques to help them with their nightmares, because I never had that myself when I was a child and growing up. And it's quite, you know, bewildering to find yourself in these crazy spaces like the lucid void, spinning around in blackness, or have out-of-body experiences which frighten you, or terrible nightmares that you don't realize that you can actually become lucid in them and change the story. So in The Art of Transforming Nightmares, I've developed a nightmare quiz, and that helps people to figure out the kind of nightmares they're having, because we're all different. So you can identify your unique sleeper or dreamer type through that nightmare quiz, and it will fast track you to the most effective nightmare practices for you personally. So there are things like, are you a lucid dreamer? You know, could you get lucid in your nightmare? Because that's a huge advantage to be able to change it while it's happening. Some people are traumatized dreamers, so they're dreaming, they're redreaming their trauma. They're living their trauma again in their nightmares. Other people are anxious or depressed, and their medication may be triggering nightmares, or the nightmares may simply be pointing them in the areas, you know, it's just highlighting the areas in their life that they need to change or deal with. I mean, there are all sorts of different types of people. Also, if you're an imaginative thinker, then visualizations and dream re-entries are especially good for you, because you can really turn things around on the level of the unconscious imagery. So there are all sorts of tips there, really, to help different kinds of dreamers.
Have you ever had a dream where you woke up and then you were glad you were able to go back to sleep and get back into that dream again?
Yeah, I've had that a lot, because as a prolific lucid dreamer, often if I've had a nightmare, then I will go back into it and I will redream it. I will find out what's going on, ask the dream person or figure, you know, what are you doing here? Do you have a message for me, or change things in some sort of way? Maybe summon help if I need help. Or hug the difficult element of that dream, of the difficult person, to integrate any shadow energy, or send love and light, or try and find some sort of healing within that space. So it can be really quite magical to go back into a dream, lucidly aware, and transform it.
All right, let's go and take some calls here for you. West of the Rockies to get us started. Ray is truck driving in Fresno. Hey, Raymond, go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're a true American. Real quick, once this pandemic gets done and we get back to real life, maybe Wednesday you have a live show here in Fresno, California.
I'd love awesome. To do that. I'll talk to Tommy about that when things open up.
Great. I had a dream about it, but it was a black guy child. That you had people on your guest talking about it.
Yep, David Weatherly.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't know, one morning when I was off work, I went to sleep and I had a dream about these black guys shooting. I was in the shower, taking a shower, and black guys kids come walking in, and then I was trying to get out, and little girl, and you know, then right there, and then I kind of woke up from it, you know. But it felt so real, though. I mean, like, it happened or something like that.
Well, let me tell Claire a little bit of what this is, Claire. These are... We have a guest named David Weatherly. He has written a book about black-eyed children who seem to show up at your doorstep wanting to get into your house, and they're really strange little kids. We don't know if they're from another dimension, if they're extraterrestrial, if they're demonic. We don't know what they are, but their eyes are all black. And, you know, they say things like, let us in, let us in. Well, Ray just had a dream about these black-eyed kids. That would be a nightmare, wouldn't it?
Well, did it feel like a nightmare for Ray? Was he scared in the dream?
I think he was bothered and scared, that's for sure.
Yeah. So this is another thing, you know, of course, everything we see and hear and read or watch on telly, you know, it all comes flowing into our dreams. Because we're dreaming, we're alive in our dreams, you know, we're absorbing all this information and processing it. So it's actually very often that these things will come into our dreams. And you can see that with children. If they've seen a particular scary movie that involves a dragon, then a dragon will show up in their dreams. So this is it's a very common thing that these will then turn into some sort of a scary nightmare. And again, it's a way of processing that, yeah. It's a very natural thing, and that's part of the healing function of dreams, is to help us to process everything that we've experienced, and then it comes out in the dream quite naturally without us having to do anything more than that.
There are all kinds of various dreams, Claire. Can one dream a nightmare on purpose? Can you create a nightmare?
Good, yeah. I mean, you know, if you think about lucid dreaming, where you can guide and shape the dream in the direction that you want, I'm just thinking now about a woman who wanted to know how it felt to die. So she asked in a lucid dream, how does it feel to die? I want to experience death.
Jeez.
And, I mean, be careful before you go asking things like that, because she then got her wish and she drowned in this dream and it felt really horrible. So that turned into a nightmare. I mean, yeah, so you can create a nightmare. You can basically create anything in that state because it is such a thought-responsive state. Yeah, so be careful what you ask for.
You sure do. You sure do. Let's go to Kathy in Enon, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Kath.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
I used to have these dreams where I couldn't ever remember what was happening before, but when I was waking up, I was gasping for air, and I could feel the water pulling back from my face as I was opening my eyes.
Now, what could that be, Claire?
Well, I mean, I wonder if these were recurring dreams, if you ever had an experience in your life, Kathy, where you were kind of nearly drowning or felt that you were. You said you felt water pulling back from your face. It was a kind of a dream of gasping for air when you're in water, is that right?
I don't know exactly what was happening. As I was waking up, I would just make this hideous noise, and I could feel the water pulling all the way back from my face as I was opening my eyes, like coming out of it.
Yeah. So that could be something linked to an experience you had, you know, a very, very long time ago even, of gasping for air. And it could also be linked to something called sleep apnea, which is when we momentarily stop breathing during
the
night. That can lead to that kind of nightmare as well, because there's something physical happening in the body. Or it doesn't even have to be something like sleep apnea. It could simply be that you didn't swallow properly in your sleep or something, and then kind of, you know, you needed to cough or something like that. And that can cause those kinds of dreams, because dreams that the feelings, the physical feelings we have, can get immediately transformed into imagery. There was a little girl who used to dream of these magician's gloves that would float in the air above her head, and suddenly they would swoop down and choke her. And she would have these recurring dreams when she was just about to have an asthma attack. And you can see, again, the connection between, you know, Kathy's dream and this little girl's dream. So that sense of not being able to breathe gets translated instantly into imagery by the dreaming mind. So I would say either it's that, something from the physical that gets translated into imagery, or perhaps some past experience that you may have even forgotten about gasping for air and trying not to drown.
Here in this country, Claire, we have Groundhog Day, which we just had on February 2nd, which was just the day. Now that we're in the February 3rd, we're in the Wednesday morning here in the United States. But there was a movie with Bill Murray called Groundhog Day, where he constantly dreamt the same dream over and over again. And you just mentioned recurring dreams. Are recurring dreams good things or bad?
Huh. Well, mostly a dream, it can be both, you see. Mostly a nightmare will recur because we haven't got the message yet of what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to react. So it just keeps badgering us to get our attention. But some recurring dreams are just beautiful, just beautiful. I mean, I have recurring dreams about beautiful waves, these amazing ocean waves with the sunlight sparkling off them, and I'm just watching them roll in the dream, feeling perfectly happy and peaceful. So those are just lovely dreams which come to bring you a moment of peace and meditation in the dream state. So they really can be both, absolutely.
Let's go to Rob, first-time caller in Spokane, Washington. Hey, Rob, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, it's great to talk to you. I've been listening to you a long time.
Thank you, sir. Going on 19 years this year.
Yeah, and then, Claire, the reason I'm calling is that my dreams, I feel like I've been spiritually attacked in my dreams, and I don't know why. I suffer with sleep paralysis. I have really bad nightmares. I mean, I'm a veteran. I was in the invasion of Iraq.
Oh. Well, thank you for serving, Rob. Yeah. Go ahead, Claire. What can you do to help him?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that. You know, Rob, that's very tough when you feel like you're being attacked in your dreams. I can relate to that from my own past experience. But it sounds as if, you know, if you were a combat veteran, then you may be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, which is really linked to a high frequency of nightmares. And then you've got the sleep paralysis on top of that, which is also giving you difficult experiences. So I think, you know, in your situation, I would definitely go and seek help from a therapist who is used to working with dreams. to help you out with that. And there are various techniques that you can use straight away to help you. For example, imagery rehearsal therapy. This is when you go back into your dream during the day, just like go back into the particular dream or nightmare and write down a different ending to it to make it have some sort of resolution or to bring it to a state of healing or anything that makes you feel more comfortable with it. It can be a very minor change, but just to change that dream story. And then each day you take about 10 minutes or so to reread that changed dream story. And that's to get it into the brain that there is a different possibility, that you don't have to keep on having these nightmares, that you can change them. And this, it sounds so easy. It sounds like child's play, doesn't it? You know, change
it does,
story.
Exactly. Rewrite it.
Yeah. Yeah, you rewrite your dream story. That's right. And it can be really very effective.
Can we all do this, Claire?
Yeah, everybody can do this, absolutely. And it works particularly well with recurring nightmares because it just sends the nightmare off in a different track, you know, like changing the points on the train chat tracks. It sends it off in a different direction so that we're not falling into that repetitive groove of having that same dream. And for the sleep paralysis, I would advise using some sort of a protection, like I do this egg of light, which is really very effective. A lot of people have found that it works well. You imagine yourself in this protective egg of light, knowing that nothing will hurt you, that you are perfectly safe, and you can bring anything that feels powerful to you into that. It could be a tiger, or it could be a strong friend. And understand as well that sleep paralysis is natural. It's on the biological level, it's simply that we enter this natural state of paralysis during sleep to stop us acting out our dreams. And amazingly, sometimes simply knowing the biological reason for sleep paralysis can really help people who are suffering from sleep paralysis to just relax in that state, and so they're not feeling so much fear. Because the problem is, the more fearful or panicked or trapped that we feel in sleep paralysis, the worse it gets. And there's no point in struggling physically against it, because it just usually doesn't work. So the best thing is really to take deep breaths and calm down, knowing that you're safe and this is a natural stage of sleep. So I wish you good luck with that, and I certainly hope that you will try some of the techniques, Rob.
Under the right conditions, we can all control our nightmares?
Yeah, we can. And, I mean, control is a sort of it's one of those words that it's a bit difficult because, in a sense, you know, we can guide them, we can shape them, but the most valuable thing to do is to allow a spontaneous reaction to come from our dreams. So that, for example, if we go back into a nightmare, so kind of mentally re-enter it, and we send love and light to the situation of pain or horror that's happening in that nightmare, and then we just allow, just wait and see how that naturally transforms, how the imagery changes, how the whole energy of the nightmare can change when we send love or healing energy. So that's kind of less, I mean, that's sort of a way of guiding it.
All right, hold on for a second, Claire. We're at the break. We're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment. Hey, on our next Coast to Coast program, Michael Cremo joins us to talk about forbidden archaeology, and then later on, Michelle Welch joins us to talk about intuition, the magic of connection. So make sure you're part of Coast to Coast. We're going to come back in a moment with Claire Johnson and take final phone calls as we talk about nightmares. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with Dr. Claire Johnson as we talk about her work, The Art of Transforming Nightmares. This book comes out in a few days. Claire, can we use our nightmares to help us?
Yeah, we can certainly use our nightmares to help us. They can give us insights about, well, how to get on track in our life, how to improve our relationships. They can flag up for us things that are not going well in our life. That's one of their main things that they do, is they point out to us in no uncertain terms that things are not right at the moment and that we need to change. So when we can take our courage into both hands and work with a nightmare, then we free up so much more energy with which to step into a happier life. We find ourselves understanding more the direction that we want to take in our lives, So we have to try and change our view of nightmares. You know, I know they're horrible to experience and can make us feel really bad for a brief time, but when we have the courage to work with them, they can really become gifts of transformation and healing.
What is the greatest technique to know that you're in a lucid dream?
Yeah, so if you want to become lucid in your dreams, it's very good to set a strong intention to become lucid. That's, intention is very, very important in this work. It's also very good to take a dream that you recently had, go back into it in your mind's eye, and just imagine yourself becoming lucid in that dream. Imagine the dream responding and everything becoming clearer, the colors becoming brighter, and feeling that rush of joy as you become lucidly aware in your dream. And this sends out a strong message to the unconscious mind that lucid dreaming is something that you want and that you're willing to invest in. And we can also keep a dream journal. This is a very core practice, very basic practice that it's good to do to open up the lines of communication with our dreaming mind. Because if we never remember any dreams, then, well, our chances of becoming lucid in a dream are pretty low. So it's good to remember our dreams, think about them during the day, imagine ourselves becoming lucid in them, and set that strong intention to have a lucid dream that night.
Back to final calls. Chris in Fresno, California. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, Chris. This is Chris. Hey, George. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I called you a couple nights ago about afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blind, and a couple of dreams, nightmares that I've had in the last year. One of them is, it seems to me, I'm not understanding it really, George. But I think like an out-of-body experience, or to the effect of I ended up on some kind of ship or somewhere, and it reminded me of a reptilian body or like a human being with scales all over it. Jeez. And the man had a green eyes, like hazel eyes or whatever, and I told me to sit down on a metal round table at a metal table or a seat. And then he turned around and walked into a door, and he said, I'll be right back. And he came back with a like a milk crate or a wooden box with bottles, like liquor bottles. And he said, set them on the table, and he looks at me and he says, I think this might help you. And I said, well, I looked at him, and that's how I knew he had green eyes. And I said, may I ask what this is, what these are, what this bottles are? And he said, it's sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla. And I said, what is that for? He said, I think this might help you. Well, while I was waiting for him to come back, I'm looking out at this big, wide opening, like a big window or whatever on the wherever I was sitting, and I'm looking out, and it's like a deserted, like a desert area, and there's people that are wearing black robes, and they're all following each other away from me. They all got their back away, you know, facing me, and they're all carrying these large sticks, and they're like walking along a lake or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And they're walking away from me along this lake or whatever it was. And then that's when the alien or the creature or whatever it was came back and said, this might help you. This is sarsaparilla. And I said, wow. So now my question then is, George, I keep thinking about this all the time, is because I'm blind. Legally.
How long have you been blind, by the way, Chris?
Since 2014.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, yeah, right. 2014. About 7 years now.
Okay.
And so that's why I don't have any communication other than listening to your show every night.
Well, that's what we're here for. But what's your question here for?
So my question there, George, is how do I correspond with this dream or this situation? And by the way, I didn't drink any of these bottles.
You didn't grab the sarsaparilla. What do you think, Claire?
Well, Right, yes. Yeah, so thank you, Chris, for sharing your dream. I don't really know what sarsaparilla is.
It's an old-time drink. It's like a soda pop and something in those days, back in the 1800s.
Oh, really? Wow.
Sarsaparilla.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting dream. It's a nice thing that we can do if we have dreams like this, Chris, is to kind of just mentally go back into that dream, knowing that we're perfectly safe and that we're in charge of this process and we can stop it at any time, and then find out more information. You know, ask this being with the reptilian body, you know, what is your message for me? Why are you here? Why do you think this sarsaparilla will help me? You know, what properties does it have? And just find out more in that way from the dream. Because often when we re-enter a dream in a relaxed state of consciousness, then intuitively answers will come to us. So that's a good thing to do. And it's also putting me in mind of research that has taken place into how dreams can sometimes provide us with prescriptions for our health. And as I say, I know nothing about the sarsaparilla, but there's been some doctoral research by Bhaskar Banerjee into how dreams can give us this prescriptive thing. So, for example, there was one woman who was suffering from high blood pressure, and she kept dreaming about potatoes. That she kept dreaming all the time about spuds and entering the word potatoes into a database or eating these meals with potatoes. And she discovered afterwards that when she did this, when she ate more spuds, that her blood pressure went down. And there are various sort of stories like this that people have actually received information from their dreams, which has had an effect on their regular waking diet, or it's told them to make some sort of change that's beneficial for their health. As I say, I cannot speak for sarsaparilla. You'd have to find out what properties that has. But sometimes dreams do communicate with us as well in that sense. They give us a direct prescription.
Why would he dream of the alien, the extraterrestrial, the reptilian?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's going to have to kind of go back into the dream and find out why he's having this dream. I don't know sort of where that came from without talking to Chris a lot more, what that represents, what the feeling was he had when he was with this
okay.
reptilian being. All of those things, dreams do emerge to a large extent from the psyche of the dreamer. So it's only the dreamer who can really unpack the dream and find out what this means. I would go back into the dream and find out more about it.
Let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Hey, hi. I was going to ask Claire, for example, you know, in terms of crystallizing something in a dream, but say, for example, I find myself wearing a brand new spanking suit, you know, state-of-the-art great suit, but however, competing on the Tour de France against Lance Armstrong, and I want to do well. I've trained a lot. So this thing that's otherwise good is a hindrance and actually a nightmare. How would you look at something like that?
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you, Joe. So in that case, you know, it's very symbolic. Dreams are very symbolic. So it would be interesting to look at what the brand new suit symbolizes for you. How does it make you feel when you're wearing this brand new suit, and how come it is so deeply impractical? It doesn't fit with the goal of the dream, which is competing in the Tour de France. So it might kind of indicate that there's something that you feel attached to or interested by, but it simply doesn't fit in with the current goals of what you want or need to do in your life, and it's become a hindrance. And just see if that resonates with anything that's going on currently in your life. It's a very useful thing to do when we work with nightmares, to try and create a bridge to what is happening currently in our lives. So looking at the emotions that come up, looking at the main message of the dream, which seems to be that, you know, you have to change your suit. You've got to change something to be able to complete your goals. But only the dreamer can know for sure.
We've got a first-time caller for you, Marshall in South Carolina. Welcome to the show, Marshall.
Hey, Nori, man, it's an honor to get to talk to you, man. I've been listening to y'all from day one since Art Bell, man. This is unreal. This is so cool tonight.
Well, thank you, sir.
It's an honor, brother. But I had a dream the other night. I don't know if Missy passed away, my wife from Parkinson's, about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it was awful. She taught school right here in this local town, Atlanta. I'm about 50 miles from Myrtle Beach. It'll give you an idea of where I live at. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, I had a dream the other night. I walked out in the yard where my little shed's at, and I'd seen a tombstone with my name on it. Nowhere. It was just creepy. It just creeped me out, man. And
That would be kind of a nightmare. What does that mean when you see? Does it mean you're going to die, Claire?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we're all going to die at some point because it's the only short thing in life is that that's waiting for us at some point. Maybe, you know, I often think as well, and what I often see with people I work with, that death in dreams or tombstones or graveyards are often actually a metaphor for change. So they reflect change. It doesn't have to mean that death is imminent. And so it's best not to get too worried or upset about it, even if it is a strange thing to experience in the dream. It doesn't mean that death is necessarily going to happen really soon. I think maybe, I mean, if I had this kind of dream, I would be encouraged to reflect upon my life and my mortality and think about what death means to me. We will all die one day, and that it is kind of scary because we don't know what happens at the moment of death. We don't really know what happens after death, and so it is a scary thing to contemplate. But I always think it's better to be prepared for death, since we know it's coming one way or another at some point, than to be fearful about it. So perhaps this kind of dream is just flagging up the importance of considering death and our feelings about it, and looking at our life in that context and thinking, well, what do I want to do in my life while I'm here living this precious life? What do I still want to do?
So not necessarily is it a nightmare.
Well, it depends how it felt to Marshall. He said it creeped him out in the dream, so
sure.
It sounds like it could have had nightmarish elements. But it certainly doesn't have to carry a very negative message. And I think hopefully we've seen that as we've talked over the past hour or so, George. That although nightmares can appear to be, you know, and feel very scary and appear to carry difficult messages, they can actually turn out to encourage us on our path through life and to show us a new way of moving forward.
Let's go to Roger in Shingletown, California. Thanks, Raj. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I just want to start by saying I'm a licensed clinical social worker, currently in private practice at an anxiety treatment program.
Oh, good for you. Thank you.
And what I'm calling about is night terror. What's the differentiation? I have two questions, actually. What's the differentiation between night terror and healthy nightmares? And there are healthy nightmares. And then the other question is what's the relationship between the nightmare activity and general anxiety disorder?
Okay, let's take the first one first. Night terror and nightmares.
Yes. So night terrors often take place in slow wave sleep. They take place in deep sleep. And what generally happens during a night terror, also known as a sleep terror, is that the person flails and screams in their sleep, and it can be super distressing for the people who are around them, the parents of the child, for example. And they, if they are woken from that state, they are extremely disoriented and confused because they're coming from deep sleep. And often if they're left, you know, just left and not woken up, they won't have any memory of it the next day. So it's not really the same as the kind of nightmares that we've been talking about today, because generally no imagery is remembered.
What about what about anxiety and general nightmares?
Oh, yeah, but first of all, I need to say about night terrors, there's a very nice, very useful way of helping someone to not have them anymore, which is to try and notice if they happen at a certain time each night, because they generally do. And then what you do is you go in and you wake the person up about 15 minutes before the night terror usually comes, and just get them up and talking and awake and stuff. And then when they go back to sleep, they somehow miss out on that night terror and they don't have it anymore. And you can train them out of it sometimes. So that's very well worth trying.
Yes. That's the way to do it. We're almost running out of time. Can you, in 20 seconds, tell them about the anxiety and nightmares, or are they one and the same?
Yeah, sure. So, when we're anxious, we're bound to have more nightmares. And a really, really good treatment for anxiety is doing this deep lying down meditation called Yoga Nidra. You can check that out. It really helps to bring us into a deep state of relaxation, and we can process all sorts of things in that state, and it relaxes us deeply. It has many, many health benefits.
Super. Claire, once again, thank you for being on the program. Really appreciate it. Stay in touch. Good luck with the book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.